Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What if you could become a better person, not by working harder, but by allowing your inherent goodness to take the lead? And not because you're a bad person, but because there's something inside you that's ready for more. How to Be a Better Person gives you one tiny step a day you can take to be the person you want to be. My mission? To help you keep growing. Hey, and welcome to How to Be a Better Person. I'm Kate, your host, and I'm excited to have you here. Thanks for listening today. This week, I'm sharing mindset hacks to help you feel less stressed and more open-minded and big-hearted, and a mode of thinking that can really keep us stuck in that place of feeling upset and down and small-minded is judgment, whether we're judging other people or judging ourselves. So today, I'm replaying an interview from 2020 that breaks down what judgment is and how we can understand where it comes from so that we can work with it more skillfully. Here goes. Today, I'm interviewing Suzanne Kingsbury. Suzanne is the founder of Gateless Writing, a method of teaching the art and craft of writing that melds brain science, Zen practice, and craft tools. Suzanne studied Buddhism and meditation on a Fulbright, and her award-winning work has been optioned for film and translated widely abroad. She's also helped countless writers get their best work on the page and publish widely acclaimed books. A cornerstone of Suzanne's teaching is that your best thinking and work is accessed by getting past the critical ego mind, which is also the source of all those judgments you secretly make about others and yourself. And that's why I am so excited to talk with her today. Suzanne, hi, thanks for being here.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive right in. Where does judgment come from? What's it all about?
I think of judgment, Kate, as kind of a trickster, right? Because some of it is actually really valid. Some judgment can be based on fact. If someone's trying to harm you or your family or the environment or anyone, really, you'll have a judgment against them. And that's discernment, if their actions have the potential to hurt you or anyone else. But a lot of judgment is there not to guard you against someone who's dangerous, but someone who, for instance, you could be jealous of, you could have a little bit of competition with. And in this case, the judgment has sort of the seeming benefit because it makes you feel better, right? There's like this little uptick in cortisol whenever you feel judgment. And this just goes back to the workings of the reptilian brain, that part of the brain called the amygdala, that when it perceives a threat, then it fires adrenaline, it fires a little bit of cortisol, and the cortisol raises your adrenals, and you actually feel a little better. like, oh, he has, you know, more money than me, so I'm going to judge him for, you know, how he spends it or how he earned it. And then you get a little hit of cortisol and you feel a little better. So that kind of judgment, I think, can be really tricky. And then there are judgments that are set into action when someone is who's their actions are a little bit making us question our beliefs. So say you have a friend who had like an autoimmune disease and they got better with an alternative medicine thing. And you're a nurse, say you're a nurse. So you might have a little bit of judgment against her using this alternative method, because it really calls into question your belief system, your livelihood, right? And so you're kind of guarding against it. So that's just another, it's tricky, judgment. It's really tricky.
It is tricky. And it is tricky, too, because it does kind of, it feels sort of righteous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it feels good. That little hit of cortisol, it's nice. And also, sometimes we really want to hang on to our beliefs because they have something, you know, they have something to do with our livelihood or the way we run our lives. So that makes sense, too.
Right. Well, let's look at this from the other angle. What about when we feel judged by other people? What does that do?
So the judgment from other people is hitting a place that makes us feel isolated. And really, as humans, we are herding animals. We want to stay with the herd in order to feel safe. So like antelope, you know, or buffalo, like we're all herding animals. And when we feel judged by someone else, or, you know, worse would be like a group of people, then it sends us into fight or flight. We immediately feel separated from the herd. And therefore, we feel at risk. Because anytime we're separated from the herd as herding animals, we feel like, oh no, there's the danger. We could be in danger. And when this happens, a bunch of systems actually shut down in the brain. Like you wouldn't have, if you're getting judged, it's very subtle, but when they've neuroscientists have hooked people up to, you know, those machines where there are little dots all over your head and they're looking at what's firing, what's not firing. They realize that when we're judged, we actually don't have access to things like long-term memory, the imaginal mind, our powers of innovation, and all of our ability to deactivate the stress response. So we feel at ease and comfortable. So that's really when we're judged why it can feel so uncomfortable.
Mm. I want to put a peg in that and come back to that in just a minute and talk about another kind of judgment that is the kind that we turn on ourselves. You know, especially when we're trying to do something that's maybe putting ourselves out there in some way, whether that could be like wearing some fancy new outfit or doing something creative or proposing something at work. What's going on there? And why is that? Can that stuff be so scary?
Well, if we can think about judgment without judgment, if we can think about judgment more as almost like a guard at the door that's trying to keep us safe, like in the example that we just talked about, wanting to keep you with the herd and instead of, you know, not with or not instead of isolated. In this same way, if you wear a fun outfit that's a little risky for you or, mm-hmm. you know, a little different, judgment is almost always trying to keep you in stasis. So that means that it's always going to try to keep you from changing because change is considered dangerous to the judgmental mind. So even if you're doing something really good, Kate, like you are doing your first book reading or you got a TED Talk or, you know, anything that's different and new, there'll often be a little bit of self-judgment there or just a little bit of feeling of nervousness. I'm not enough for this. I don't look good enough for this. I don't have enough to say. Like the imposter syndrome comes from that judgmental mind really trying to keep you safe, trying to keep you in the same place that you were yesterday. So that's why that often will kick in.
Okay.
I want to ask you about some practical tools for outsmarting judgment, but I've got to take a quick break. Be right back. All right. Welcome back to my interview with Suzanne Kingsbury.
So what are some tools we can use to get around that judgment mind in our daily lives?
It's such a good question. I think part of it is really what you're doing here, which is to look at judgment and almost deconstruct it. You know, it's just like when your daughter thinks there's a monster in her bedroom and then you turn on the light and you know it's just a jacket on the chair. So to really look at the way judgment works helps to demystify it. And we also want to question a little bit of, you know, anytime we have judgment, we want to look at if there's a belief that we're trying to hold on to or a place that we're trying to stay the same, if there's any fear there, and to know that the judgment is trying to keep us in a place that feels more comfortable than what this change is, you know, representing for you. So demystifying it and then really allowing yourself to sort of go beyond the comfort zone and knowing that, you know, change is going to happen anyway. So even if there's judgment there, you don't have to pay attention to it.
Well, what's it like when you get better at moving past judgment? When you've paid attention to it, you're reminding yourself that change is going to happen anyway, right? So may as well be going after something that you really want. Like, I think a lot of people don't necessarily even realize how many judgments they're making that are kind of keeping them in that stasis place. So sometimes we need a little help envisioning something that we've never experienced before, right? So
yeah,
can you tell me like what becomes possible?
What becomes possible is really if we move past that addiction to the cortisol, to the feeling of being revved up by the judgment, and that includes judging ourselves. That cortisol gets released even when we judge ourselves. Mm. So it kind of frees us up to be in a situation where we're not feeling like we need that hit all the time. As soon as you let yourself move past it once, you'll begin to move past it again. And when you do that, other neurotransmitters can fire in the brain. It's really all about brain science judgment. And that's sort of relaxing to know that it's not just personality or it really is something happening in the brain. And when we can move past the judgment, don't take the quote unquote cortisol drink and just realize that's a judgment. I'm not going to believe it. Then other neurotransmitters begin to fire, like serotonin, oxytocin, GABA. And ultimately, these aren't as addictive as that cortisol hit of judgment you get when you judge someone else or when you judge yourself. Mm-hmm. And these can settle the nervous system and make our lives run smoother. But also, we have access to so much more in the brain if we don't take that hit of judgment, if we don't believe it. And that means that places in the brain that are responsible for the innovation, responsible for creativity, responsible for long-term memory, get freed up. So we have a lot more possibility in terms of how we're moving around, what we're capable of.
Oh, that sounds really, really compelling. Way better than cortisol. I mean, come on.
Right.
Well, you help people get past judgment, right? In your work. And I'm just curious, could you share an example of maybe something that's happened? It could be from your own life or in one of your clients, when people have kind of learned how to circumvent that old tired path of like making the judgment and getting the cortisol.
Yeah, that's such a good question. I mean, I think when we isolate, we're weaker, right? Anytime we collaborate, we're stronger, and judgment doesn't let us collaborate. But I recently had a writer who just lost her literary agent, which is, you know, a big deal for writers. And she was in a real place of depression and jealousy of other writers who seem to be doing really well. And one writer in particular, which often happens with judgment, she just, this writer that she was jealous of just seemed to have it all, the books and the big house and the husband and the connections. And my writer was just, she was having a lot of judgment about how she wrote and what she was writing and how she was marketing and everything. But when we went to build her platform to kind of try to get a new agent for her, which platform can be really important for getting the new agent, you know, I said, you might want to reach out to this writer because she has built a big audience and she might be a fun person to share audiences with and swap ideas. And she was so reluctant at first because she'd built up all the judgments against her because she was feeling sort of depressed. So the judgments really, they give you that zing of cortisol, which makes you feel good in the short term. But she did reach out to her, and the writer wound up being one of the most helpful pieces in building the platform. And she actually gave her agent's name. Well. And so this writer, you know, was collaborating rather than isolating, and it turned out really well for her. And it was one of the sort of biggest ways that I could think of to explain to other writers why it's so important, and anyone really in any industry, to collaborate, you know, to move past the judgment, to realize, oh yeah, I'm in that thing of judgment because I don't feel that good about myself or whatever, holding on to beliefs, or, and then to realize like, oh my gosh, if we can just form collaboration and team and community, a lot can happen.
Oh, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's definitely inspiring to me. And I know to my listeners too. So for folks who want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, they can come to gatelesswriting.com. So that's where we house our website, and they can come along, and really anyone is welcome to write to me. And there are 75 writers, gateless writing teachers worldwide. So they can also experience the methodology really anywhere. But I'd love to hear from your listeners, Kate. So gatelesswriting.com. But I just want to like reach out and say thank you so much for doing this podcast. It is so uplifting in a world where there's a lot of noise. This one really stands out for me, and I feel so grateful to be on here.
Oh, Suzanne, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kate, back with your tiny assignment. And I loved how Suzanne helped us think about judgment as really some chemicals in our brain, like a little hit of cortisol. So the next time that you notice yourself judging someone or judging yourself, your tiny assignment is just to say, oop, there goes that little hit of cortisol again. And just take a breath and kind of let it pass. Sometimes just thinking about something in a different way helps shift it and helps it change into something better. That's it for today. I hope you have a great night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
How to Be a Better Person's theme song, Left for Deadish, is by Junior85. The episodes are mixed by Sound Advice Strategies. If you liked what you heard in this episode, share it with someone you think would like it too. Your voice matters. Also, How to Be a Better Person has an official newsletter that sends the past 5 episodes and a well-chosen meme to your inbox every weekend. Sign up at beabetterpersonpodcast.com and click on Get Podcast News. I also love to hear from listeners. I mean, I love it. Send me an email by clicking on the Contact Kate button at beabetterpersonpodcast.com, or you can tweet me at Kate W. Hanley. Don't forget the W, or find me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. I look forward to connecting with you.